When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to Indeed. It's the independent wrestling podcast. Some have maybe said it's the best independent wrestling podcast.
Some have said.
Back here for another week. Got a bunch of guests, but as always, I've got my wonderful co-host, Righteous Reg. How are you doing?
In the building. This is your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. It's Indeed. Very excited to be here. There's some feedback somewhere. But yeah, we're good. We're here. Let's talk some independent wrestling. I'm excited. Podcaster.
I think it's Mikey. If it's me, then I will put on headphones.
Oh, might be.
I'm just going to be safe.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. Anyway, what's up, everybody? So yes, we've got a pretty stacked episode here. We've got a returning guest. He brought a bunch of friends with him. We've got the, you know, all four members. They've popped in here at varying times, and they will all be here eventually together. But we've got all four members of Ontario's most dominant faction, and they're not stopping.
Run that back. Say that again, son.
Ontario's most dominant faction, and they're not stopping there. Put your diamonds up. Dynasty is here. So I said we've got a familiar face here. There are also three brand new faces here, and there's a bunch of gold spread out amongst all of you too. So instead of me doing all the introductions, let's go around the table. Let everyone know your name, your titles you currently hold, and like, I don't know, your favorite thing about Dynasty, or like what your contribution to the group car ride is. We'll start with Mikey Truth right up here in the top row.
Hey, yo, what love? It's yours truly, the Lionheart, Mikey Truth. We all based out of Toronto, the GTA, representing. Yes. You know, the high fly, the rebel of the group, the wild one. And the manager, the loud mouth from the north. but representing Dynasty full through and through. We right here with all the founding members.
All right, pass it off to whoever you want.
Hey, drop it down. Any boys step up? You want it out?
Mikey doesn't give himself enough credit because Mikey is also who, like, deserves the credit for the branding of the group. Mm. That's all Mikey. The logo, I think the music when we started was Mikey and Jackson. Like, they took care of all that stuff. I am Sway Archer. I am the longest tenured in wrestling, I guess, member of Dynasty. I hate the term vet because people are like, oh, you're the vet of the group. Like, no, I am not.
The youngest.
Even though I'm the youngest.
The youngest with the vet. The young vet.
I am not only the best late night car driver when we're coming back from Montreal, but I am also the one who makes the gear for the group.
That's just
a
group.
No.
You give yeah, yeah. You feel like I'm a little too humble, Sway.
Mikey doesn't give himself enough credit. I don't think Sway does either.
I make gear not only for my group, but I also make gear for a lot of people on the independents in NXT and also TNA.
Not a big deal.
That's my job. Just a couple right? things.
No big deal. Whoop that trick. All right. Well, we'll keep moving to the left then. Who's next?
What up? What up? What up? It's Jackson Roy, Takedown King. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So, what up? It's Jackson Roy. Like I said, Takedown King. I've been a member of Dynasty since day one. Current Destiny World Tag Team.
Oh, wait. No. I feel like
let's go.
That's right.
Pull them out. Big guns.
Where's the hardware?
I swear it goes to get this title.
I keep it away from my workstation so I don't get like bullshit on it.
You know?
Beautiful.
Amateur wrestler, pro wrestler for 2 to 3 years. I'm usually the one in the group that makes the highlights. As you see the highlights on Instagram and Twitter, I like to piece together 1 minute highlights. I'm usually the one doing that. I'm just proud of the team, proud of how far we've come, and it's only the beginning.
Dope.
All right, sounds good. All right, so you got D. Smith, the master strategist. I've been working almost nearly as long as Sway consecutively, if you put all the days together. But I've been wrestling since 2018. Still trying to find myself, but this group has welcomed me very much with open arms. I've been establishing myself a lot slowly, at a slower rate than these guys have, but you know, not to put myself any lower. I think I know a thing or two about a thing or two. As I am currently a 2-time champion in a couple other promotions, so I do know a thing or two.
Let us know about your championships.
Yeah. All right. So currently I am the Crossbody Pro Wrestling Internet Championship Champion. As well, I have the Battle Arts Rising Stars Championship. Show that up to the camera. That's there.
Hardware, baby.
That's right. 2 in a week, 2 within 6 days. Not huge, you know, no small potatoes. But I'm feeling good. I feel like I've really stepped up my game, establishing myself and this group on a whole nother level. We're ready to just take over, you know, this whole thing.
As an unbiased observer, D. Smith can confirm.
Absolutely. Love the hardware being shown on here. I think, funny enough, we're going to get some clickbait people being like, Dynasty is happening this week. They must be talking about Dynasty. Can you guys please let me know how it felt when they were like, hey, we're about to have a pay-per-view and it's called Dynasty. Mikey, let's start with you since you like are on top of the branding and things. How did you feel when you saw this?
I'm just saying, I ain't crazy. I'm just saying, this ain't no conspiracy. But I'm just saying, something's in the air tells me Dynasty, history, and leaving a legacy has been the hot topic lately. So I'm just saying, I'm just waiting.
It's wild.
It's interesting, right?
You guys just came into all this gold lately, too. It's interesting season.
What's happening here?
Something's catching on here.
I don't know. I don't know. Hey, everything happens for a reason. In due time.
Yeah. If anytime it's going to help because it's like wrestling and Dynasty. Eventually, enough Googling, it's going to get to you guys at some point, right?
I'm just saying, we're just waiting for the cross branding. We all win. We all taking the dub.
So listen, we get money.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you guys for joining us here. I just saw Sway in Philadelphia. Will, not for. I saw him, but he was on the run. This is at Wale Mania. Yeah. He was legit every single place you could be in, like, but only for like 5 seconds. Like, oh, there's Sway. Let me say what's up. But he's like darting around every single place there is to exist. Sway, when did you become like wrestler wrangler? Because I was like, oh, there's a dope wrestler, and then there's Sway to help him get in.
So I mean, technically, in like 2015, whenever Destiny started as a promotion, I started because it was running out of Battle Arts where we all trained, and I was the one who would go to all the Destiny shows and help, which led to me being the one who was like, not like heading ring crew, because the ring's already built, it's always in the building, but it's like I was the one who George, the promoter at the time, would defer to. It's like, oh, okay, if you need something and he's too busy, go find Sway and he'll figure it out. So I ended up doing that there. And it also helps that, like, post-pandemic, I know way more people than I did pre-pandemic, because I spent the entire pandemic just networking on Twitter. So it's like, oh, okay, I may not know this person, like, super personally, but we've interacted before, we follow each other, and I have a great memory for names if I see them written down. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, that's so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Okay, cool. They should probably be in, like, on somebody's guest list or something like that. So it was like, okay, go get them. And then it's like, someone would notice me and point me out and be like, oh, Sway, like, how do I get towards the stage? And it's like, oh, crap, okay, well, then you bring around that way. So it's just, I don't know whether it's because I'm tall and people can pick me out of a crowd easily, or because people recognize my name, but I always end up doing that. No matter where I am, I end up being the one who gets asked, oh, where's so-and-so, or where's this, or where's that? And I usually know, or I can find it pretty quickly.
And he just disappears off the drop of a dime, because we're really grooving. We're all grooving out there.
I'm telling you.
Boom, we're like, yo, where's Sway go?
That's a very common question. You hear that a lot.
Yelling behind me. I think at Wally Mania, I was literally yelling behind me, like, I have to go get Littlefoot. She's outside. Give me a sec.
So this is a recurring thing of Sway just disappearing or being in one place for 5 seconds. Like, oh, there he is. Oh, nope, he's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
That's a. I was gonna say though, like that. You guys had a whole little trip down there, because I know that Sway wasn't the only one. I had to change the music on this. I didn't want to get us copyright striked, but happened to catch at least one of you on camera during the week. I think I know that guy that's dancing with I might have seen him somewhere.
Cool song.
Yeah, it's a good song. I didn't want us to get a copyright strike from
copyright. Wow, you use my music without my permission. What's going on here? No, Mikey, you join a great class, because I also have danced at an entrance with Too Cold Scorpio during For the Culture, and it's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, honestly.
No, it was sick. That was a dope moment. Like, as soon as that music hits, it's like, it's infectious. You can't. Like, something's wrong with you if you're just dead face. Right. So, right, you have to get in that moment and groove in. It's the legend, too. Too Cold. It's like, I never thought I'd ever see him live, especially from coming from Toronto out here. Mm. When's the opportunities you're ever going to see Too Cold Scorpio? So that's just a moment that you just have to just join in. I'm surprised not the whole building joined in on that. And everything was crazy out there.
All right. Well, we've got some mixed reactions in the chat here. So Leashy, who you might have seen at Crossbody, Boo Dynasty. Okay, so that's my sister.
Oh, boy. She's obsessed.
Shade off rip. It's crazy.
But then on the flip side, Lawrence. You know, got Lawrence out here with a ton of diamonds for us. So
throw it up.
As long as they're making noise, we love it. You know, as long as they're making noise.
That's the way.
Invict emotion, create emotion, and grab them by the heartstring.
I will say, loved and hated across Ontario or Montreal, depending on where you are. But always getting a response from the crowd. So
that's the goal, taking it worldwide.
Something I did want to get into, though, is, you know, obviously there's four of you, a faction on an, here within independent wrestling, which is not something that's commonly seen, we see a lot of tag teams. We see some trios, but like a fully functioning four person unit, it's rare, like a diamond.
Bars.
I'm sorry. I had this.
I was the rapper.
I had to slip it. Oh, that was a bar. Oh, we'll call that a bar. I called it a dad joke. So I'll take bar.
Hey, either way, they both hit.
They overlap.
Bar is an upgrade. But like, is it you travel, compete as a tag team, a trio, singles, a full fledged quartet? You're on either multiple matches on the same show. There's nights where half of you will be on one show, half of you will be elsewhere on another show. it's really hard to think of a lot of units that are doing this, especially one in our area, you know, here in Ontario, two just within independent wrestling. How do you stay like so tight knit and, you know, your goals all seem to be relatively aligned, but you're all doing it so unselfishly together? It's impressive.
Well, I think,
go ahead.
Well, I think what helps for sure is, unlike many other groups, we actually talk and converse with each other, and like, we are cool outside of just the wrestling ring. Like these are all guys I consider like family. These guys have helped me through a lot, and that's just like all through communication, like sharing road travels and stories and hanging out just in general. Like that helps. That puts us above any other team that just, you know, slaps a cool name on a duo and says that they're taking over, you know.
I think there's also something to be said for like staying in constant communication is probably like number one. The fact that we have a group chat that we are all in, that we regularly like share stuff in, we regularly talk through. You know, once again, big credit to Mikey. Mikey really helps schedule things out. Like if I get intrigue from somebody to go like, oh, like, do you guys want to come do this? Or if I want to go to a show and I want to like put together a carload to go to that show, I usually ask, and Mikey's usually the first one to respond. He goes, no, we have this on this day or this on this day. Cause I am terrible at keeping like a calendar. I have my spreadsheet for gear and that's as organized as I get. I'm bad with organization otherwise. So like Mikey helps with that for sure. I think also the fact that we all want each other to succeed, and it's not, we want each other to succeed on like a, oh, if they make it, that's nice. It's like, no, it's okay. I may have gotten booked somewhere first, or Derek may have gotten booked somewhere first, or Mikey and Jackson may have gotten booked somewhere first. Okay. Now let's see how the other people can get here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like for me, that was IWS. Like I got on IWS because I ended up doing, I think it was like in the span of a week and a half, I did a Shane Hawk seminar at Crossbody and then also wrestled at C4 on a show that he was on. So it was like a very close time frame where it was like, okay, cool. I've seen you twice now. I like your work. Like maybe come out to IWS. So I went out to IWS shows for about like 6 months to a year. And then it was like, okay, cool. How do we bring in, you know, Dynasty as a unit? With Mikey and Jackson, you know, going to a local promotion called, going to a local promotion in Oshawa and going, and we got there. Sorry, them two got there. And then it was like, okay, cool. What do we do to get Sway in there? What do we do to get D. Smith in there? You know, D. Smith wrestles at a place called 365. I would like to be on 365. So we try and figure out how to coordinate that and how to make, like, if the dates line up, how do we all be in the same place? Because one, super efficient for carloads if we're all in the same place. Even even if like sometimes it's better to be separate, we'll do that. But like, I'd rather we all be somewhere than have one of us be like, oh, I'll just take the day off. Like, no, we'd like to be there. So we all try and stick together that way. We all try and pull each other up. If we take a step up first, you know, leave the hand out behind you to bring somebody up behind you.
Rising tide.
Exactly.
Like, I think that's one of the biggest things too, is like a lot of us have like different, we're from Toronto, so we have different pockets of promotion that's within the Toronto, Greater Toronto, the GTA area. So like, for instance, Junction City is very close tied to our Battle Arts, where we're based out of. That's been a close pocket helping us develop. Then going to Crossbody, it's just these different platforms that's helped put us in places to tell our story, more importantly. It's not just a booking that we're just looking at. It's like, how can we develop, not only tell my story, but tell our story as a unit together? For example, like our extra ties and rooted connection to the States with Xavier Walker and Ren Jones, getting into places like Superkicked and stuff like that, where a lot of us from Battle Arts don't really work there as much. That's more of another talent pool and academy out there in school that has opened up the range for us to end up doing stuff there and working out there. So all it is just kicking in the door and just creating other opportunities for us to branch out and know that Dynasty is that launching pad to get to better pastures.
Mm-hmm.
I think what also makes us really strong is that we all understand that what even though we're all part of a group, we also are comfortable doing our own thing on the side. We're all comfortable doing our solo stuff, our single matches, and whether that be a tag team match, whether that's me and Mikey or me and D Smith or me and Sway, we're all comfortable interchanging the group and switching things around. So I think that's what makes us strong as well, is that we're all comfortable whether tagging with each other or just doing our own thing on the side.
Yeah, Freebird rules.
Yeah, Freebird rules, exactly.
Freebird. We were just talking about Mania Weekend and experiencing that, and it's kind of become known as like the week where American independent wrestling, you know, everybody converges in that. I'd like input from Mike also. Do you guys think that this could happen in Canada? A week of just wrestling adjacent events and Canadian talent coming together to make this happen. Do you guys think this is possible?
I think if people put their minds to it and people were willing to travel, those are like the two number one things. Because like,
right,
do I see that happening if they ran SummerSlam in, I don't know, the Pacific Northwest, if they ran it in Vancouver? Mm-hmm. Not really. I see maybe you would get like NEW in Vancouver, and then Prestige and Defy would come up from, you know, Oregon and Seattle. I could see that maybe happening over there, but it's not the same as like a WrestleMania, where WrestleMania was in Philly and there were people there from California.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, I find that, yeah, like I find that that's less likely. But I think we're going to see a microcosm of that SummerSlam weekend. You know, SummerSlam weekend, GCW is coming up to Canada, I believe. Money in the Bank. That's right. Yeah, yeah. SummerSlam 2019 was when I thought it was going to happen, and it didn't happen as strongly as it happened, as it's going to happen this year for Money in the Bank. Yeah, July 6th, 7th, 8th weekend.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell how well we could actually do it until Toronto gets another WrestleMania, because then people don't have a choice.
Yes.
Like this Money in the Bank thing, it's like, oh, well, we could. Like, a lot of people are going to, you know, it's going to draw a lot of eyes on the city. We could go up for that.
Mm-hmm.
But WrestleMania, it's like, okay, cool. That Mania week you guys have, that you guys get spoiled with, like Florida, it's like you guys have had it like four times.
Yeah.
You don't get that. That's here now. So if you want to be a part of Mania week, you have to come up. You have to get your passports. You have to get on a flight or take a long drive. You have to come up to Toronto. So if that happens, I think people will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think it should be in the summer months, definitely, because that's like when the tourism is really, really booming in Toronto. And at the same time, on a lower scale level, we see it when TNA was in there running Rebellion, or like ROH would do World of Worlds, their little clash in New Japan that they used to do.
AEW's Forbidden Door.
There was a lot of
side events around that too.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna get to. Then that creates that bubble of all the independent shows throughout the GTA and outside the GTA center to now start to blossom, and they're doing shows, they're booking in these towns that are coming in here. Because we have shows consistently all the time. It's a very booming, I'd say, period right now in the independent scene out here. So a lot of big names are doing shows consistently for a lot of the independents that are happening out here. All it takes is one of these major promotions, whether it's an AEW or WWE, et cetera, that plant that flag in here. It's like, okay, this is this weekend that we're going to do in the summertime. We're going to take over Toronto.
Absolutely. One
little note, I do think, because obviously WrestleMania is not in the summertime. They're thinking about pushing it to late April, apparently, but it's still not as nice in Toronto in late April as it is in Vegas, Florida, Texas, whatever. But if AEW got over their Wembley obsession, if they ran all in at the Rogers Center, I think that would be massive. It's still like a stadium that when set up for wrestling seats like 68,000 or something like that. So if they ran it there, yeah, exactly. If they ran it there, that's in August.
I know that they're not super locked in anymore to Wembley. I don't know that, but
if, I've heard if that. they come to Toronto in
Jesus,
August,
I just started talking. I'm sorry. No, guys. Retract everything I just said.
Redacted.
Yeah, just the black marker just all along that. Right there.
Yeah.
But no, if they were to come to Toronto in August, I actually think that one, it could draw a lot of independents to come and do side events. Whereas, like, if you have an East Coast independent, you can't really go over and set up somewhere near Wembley. That's kind of like the UK market has to do that. But for people coming up and independents coming in, I think that like a GCW or maybe a Limitless would consider coming in and running an event there. And I think also a lot of Americans would maybe pull back a little on their Canada is so cold jokes if they came to Toronto in August. Because Toronto in August hurts. And it hurts, in my opinion, more than Texas in August. Because I've done both. It's just humid. It's so humid. It's like 90% humidity most of the time.
We don't get dry heat. We don't get dry heat.
Because we're right beside the Great Lakes, right? So it's just humid.
It's terrible. So for the thing that I would always have to realize with it is like the standard kind of now is that it's going to probably be like one big promotion kind of heading up the ship and then working with, you know, working
like
with
the collective.
Exactly. Which I would almost expect that it would be like GCW still actually doing, you know, heading up something and working with, you know, a bunch of promotions up here that they already maybe have talent relationships or business or like IWS. I know they've done, you know, co-promoted with twice now, and also, well, really even that last show was like co-promoted in March of this year. The you know,
yeah, there's definitely a working
in terms of the you know, in terms of having like the team GCW representation on the main event for that show. So I think something like that would definitely. I just want to see it happen. Like I'm so tired of sitting at home and being like, man, fucking Americans.
Always get it all.
Like
we are spoiled, honestly.
The cost of international travel to fly to any of these events for me, I'm just like, I'm just locked out of this one immediately. So I personally, it would be great to see. Also, I think it's something that is. I haven't seen a lot of like interpromotional relationship out here at all. Really,
there isn't a ton.
Another question.
So it's something that would people have to. People
is
have
it just
to
pro it. Wrestling?
It's probably.
It's a little bit of that. I'll say personally what I think it is. Is I think there is so a lot of you guys could tell me American promotions, do they tend to work together a ton when they're in the same city?
Not necessarily.
Like, so like it's not tremendous. I think the really the only time you see it is like sometimes you'll get a co-branded show and then usually
it's
like
becoming better for sure.
Yeah. But then again, you also have to remember, take any American city that pro wrestling is considered like a hot spot for, and sometimes it's not even a city, it's like a region. So when you look at the Pacific Northwest, that's a massive region. But like if you look at Jersey and you look at like North Jersey and Manhattan, right? There's a ton of promotions there, but there's also a ton of people.
Yeah.
If you take the island of Manhattan with its, what, 10, 15 million people, whatever it is, that's more than all of Southern Ontario. And they have less promotions. Like, Southern Ontario has a ton of promotions and not that many people. So it tends to be less of like a, oh, let's work together and do some co-branded shows. It tends to be like, give me the little bit of people that I can scrape to get together for this event. And there's only so many days in a month. And a lot of people don't like running Fridays because, you know, oh, well, if I finish work at 6 and I start a show at 7, then, you know. So Saturday and Sunday, you got 8 of those, maybe 10 of them a month. And if you have 20 promotions, which I don't think is an understatement or an overstatement.
There's never a weekend. Yeah, there's never a weekend where two shows aren't running against each other.
Yeah. There's
every weekend.
If and all by the share. Grace of God, it is not both days, it is one of the days. Mm-hmm. And that one day maybe has 3 running against each other.
When easily it can be distributed, and like everybody can eat from Thursday to Sunday, like every week.
All of the promotions, for the most part, like share a lot of talent too.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of
so many people that are wrestlers here.
Yeah,
it's a lot of wrestlers.
Very rich in talent, and there are enough promotions, but they just can't figure it out. Where it's like,
I don't know. I don't want to mean to cut you off. I wouldn't even say that. Just think like, just take the chance to just diversify your roster. That's just it.
Mm-hmm. Here's another huge knock. Just become
very complacent with like the same like talent pool.
And here's a huge knock that we have in Southern Ontario. This is what I like to explain to people as like, we are, but everybody talks about like, oh, they're bubble. We are a bubble pushed up against a wall. Because when you're in Southern Ontario, and I'm talking an 8-hour stretch of land from Ottawa to Windsor, 8 hours, that's Southern Ontario. If you go more than 2 hours north of Toronto, let's use Toronto as a center point. So 4 hours, 4 hours west, Windsor, 4 hours east, Ottawa, 2 hours north, Barrie. That's it. With very, very few exceptions, like 4 hours north from Toronto, technically North Bay, but that's like an outlier. Most of it takes place in that 4 hours west, 4 hours east, 2 hours north. And if you try and go outside that, good luck. You can't go south because you can't go into the U.S. We're not allowed. We're not allowed to wrestle in the U.S. You can't go any more than 4 hours west because then you're in the U.S., you're in Detroit. If you go more than 2.5 hours north, nobody lives there.
There's nothing.
You might as well already be in Manitoba.
You're wrestling for bears.
Wrestling for bears. Legit. And you might as well, and when I say you might as well already be in Manitoba, people go, oh, well, like Chris Jericho came from like Winnipeg. There's promotions out there. I say might as well, but in reality, from Toronto to Winnipeg, driving is 21 hours. Mm-hmm. There is nothing for 17 hours. There is not a single promotion that runs that I know of north of North Bay and like south of Winnipeg. There's nothing up there. So you go into Quebec. Well, then you're digging into the Quebec pool of talent, which is even more people. So the issue that we have that, you know, maybe say a Chicago doesn't have, Chicago can pull different people from 4 hours in every direction. No problem. And it's a different market 4 hours in every direction. Like it's not like you're sharing
a talent. Totally different.
It's totally different. But we are sharing a talent pool in an 8-hour stretch of highway. And it's the same people on every show, unless we bring in Americans, because we don't have the option to go down to America and do it in the reverse. Unless you have a working visa or a green card or dual citizenship, but or like native status, I think. But out of everybody in Ontario, I'm pretty sure, God, that's maybe like 10 people. And 8 of them are signed to TNA.
5% or under of the pool.
Yeah.
At the same time, a lot of promotions are doing their due diligence to help like a lot of time get their visas and get things organized. So that's a good thing too.
Yeah, they're trying. And then like big shout out to Defy for sort of getting that ball rolling, where Defy got who I think are some of the best wrestlers in Canada. They got guys like Judas Icarus, you know, they got guys like Travis Williams and they're getting them down there, you know, Artie Spence, Nicole Matthews. Yeah. And we were hoping that something like that opens up on the East Coast because DeFi is very, very West Coast based. Totally. So we have all these people in Ontario who would love to work East Coast US, but just can't.
Yep.
Maybe with this new relationship, the West Coast, Deadlock, Prestige, like there's a lot going on with promotions working together across the U.S. at least. So hopefully that bleeds over onto you guys. It's interesting to hear that it's a lot of it's about real estate. It's just like if we can, there's this amount of fans, like I want them over trying to get them together. And I totally understand that. And like I said, it's still pro wrestling of like, I don't want to work with that motherfucker, or I don't want you to work for that motherfucker, which is like,
you do hear that
some stuff. You do hear that. It's crazy.
No, you definitely hear that. And like, you hear it far more than you should.
You hear it.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying like, well, how do you determine that? That doesn't even make sense. Have to have a promoter on here for that, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
We've had a couple, but
I don't mean good luck.
They're all the nicest.
I mean
people
good luck
in the world,
getting them to answer stuff.
The ones that we
have.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, I guess it depends. You know, who you bring on to.
Like, nobody wants to come on and be the bad guy and be like, oh, the reason I don't want it is because I want all the fans. Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Yeah, no one's
that's obviously that, something that influences people's decisions. Like, I'm not stupid.
Like, don't go over there. Come over here. We have the stuff.
I say it all the time, and I'm very gracious that I had good people teaching me to instill good morals. But when I learned to make gear, I learned a lot from Ophidian and Kate Nix. And they say all the time, they go, there are a ton of people who need gear and there's not enough people to make it. So like in gear, I am never like, if somebody's like, oh, like I, you know, I'm going to have somebody else make it. Sometimes it's a big commission and that's like, kind of like, damn, like I wish I had that, but it's never like a, no, please, like, no. Don't go, like, I need your business. It's like, okay, cool, whatever works best for you. But that's also in the times where there is a lot of customers, so to speak. There's a lot of clients to go around. And it's unfortunately kind of flipped where there isn't a lot of wrestling fans to go around. You have to make new ones.
Yeah.
Like, in this area, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I see a lot of the same faces, sitting beside and around me at pretty much every show because, you know, it really is, it really is like that. I think for Hamilton, like there's a couple of promotions basically, and it's like everyone goes to both shows. They usually run opposite months of each other for the most part, and it's like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it would be cool, you know, I would like to be able to go maybe see some more stuff like having something around here like more regularly would also be great to see just in general. Like every other month is I have money that I'd be willing to spend on more shows, and I'm sure more fans in the area feel the same, you know?
It feels like the promoters feel that same way of like they can't run every month because they don't think the fans are gonna come every month, which is interesting because it seems like they would, but it seems like promoters are like, we can only run this amount of time because of fans.
Yeah, I don't know what it costs to run a show, but I think that some people might look at it in a sense of like, if I'm going to get 300 every other month or 200 every month, I'll just take the 300 every other month.
Right.
Like in terms of paid attendance.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to book a show. Everybody goes, oh, my bucket listing is to book a show. My bucket listing is to get out of wrestling having never done so.
At the same time, it's like taking that extra initiative and getting your product and exposure out there. Like trust in the YouTube, trust into the IWTVs, trust in these different networks and streaming services.
Get on social media. Get on social media. None of wrestlers in Canada are on social media.
Because like that is going to help flourish everything. It's helped Dynasty and all of us do wonders. This whole social media and internet game has helped us all do wonders. Just like the podcasting game. It's helped everybody win. So I think like pro wrestling is still like chugging back into these late 90s, early 2000 era of how to like market and push your product. And so just trust the internet. The internet's right here.
At least up here. At least up here. Because I won't say that about Americans. American social media.
Hey, man. It's still some
dog shit out of us. Like,
you know, so I think.
Not all of them. You guys still need some work out there.
Yeah, but like America has Twitter wrestlers.
Yeah, totally.
I'm the closest thing to that in Canada, and I'm not a Twitter wrestler. Yeah. Like, I'm the closest thing, though.
I thought that was the norm, Twitter honestly. I'm like, that's just what wrestling is. You could just be a Twitter wrestler. That's
what is the criteria for to get to the status of Twitter wrestler?
I think it's more people recognizing you outside of your hometown than people in it.
Yep.
Where it's like your gifts and stuff go viral, but like you're not working super actively in your hometown. Mm-hmm. I think that's very like Twitter wrestler behavior. And I was that for like maybe the first year coming out of the pandemic, because so many Americans have gotten familiar with me on Twitter. But I wasn't wrestling around, you know, Ontario as much as I am now, where it's like, now I don't have free weekends really. So,
kind of the same thing as what Sway is saying, is like really popular on Twitter, but people outside of Twitter just don't really know them that well. But it's like on Twitter, you would think that they're like getting bookings and money every weekend. It's like, it's an interesting thing that happens often.
You sell more merch on like PWT than you do at shows. Like, right. That's big Twitter wrestler stuff.
Yeah. And no shade. That's dope.
Honestly, like,
get your bag.
Yeah. But also I would blame a little bit of that on how long Ontario also took to just open up and have wrestling exist here again.
Yeah.
Coming out of the pandemic.
Still like, catching up is crazy. You know,
we were wildly. Yeah. Shut down. We were wildly shut down in comparison to. Well, like this.
We weren't. It was the second one that killed us.
Omicron.
I don't remember when the collective was. The first one, the one in Indianapolis, or not the first one, but like the first post pandemic big wrestling get together. Mm-hmm. We were open like a month and a half after it. The issue was that we shut down again in September.
Yeah,
because like and America didn't. A lot of places in America didn't even bother. Like, our issue is that our wrestling market, the government was very similar to the way that, like, New York operated. Mm-hmm. Whereas we didn't really have anywhere else to go. If you were a New York wrestler, you theoretically could make the long-haul drive and go to, like, Indianapolis or, you know, a state where the restrictions weren't as strong. We didn't have that option. We couldn't leave the country. And the other provinces were just as bad. Like, Quebec was shut down even worse than we were. So... The second wave is what did us in.
Yeah, in Texas, they just didn't care from off rip. They were like, we'll wrestle here. We don't care about nothing. I was like, all right, that's an interesting strategy.
Yeah, same. I was seeing that with a lot of promotions running shows in Florida. There's a lot of promotions. There's a lot of promotions in
Texas
Florida.
And got Florida. Real big they're 2020.
They went, what pandemic? We're not done.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, that doesn't exist here. Like,
we got venues booked.
I'm trying to get my bag.
Oh, you mean the cold that everyone has? It's fine.
It's fine.
During that time,
they'll just not wear masks inside of all of our events. It'll work out.
During that time,
both of those Mania weekends, I got the COVID. So there you go. Mm. If anybody wanted an update,
did any of you get the Philly flu this year?
I got it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I thought it was a byproduct of just networking for a week, you know, but I guess it kind of was, but it was rough. Like, still a bit like cotton mouth, dry throat.
I didn't smoke any blunts with anybody. I'm like, I wanted to so bad, but I know what comes of it. Like, that's legit. Every time I'm like, when I'm in a cipher, I'm like, this is such a bad idea. This is such a bad idea. And it's always a bad idea. And I didn't get in any ciphers, and I feel great.
I mean, they always call it like, what's the term? Con crud. Like, if you go to a convention, you will probably come home sick.
Oh, yeah.
So you think about the collective venue. So there's like 700 people in that fucking building.
Right.
Man. Wale Mania.
I went to WrestleCon too. Oh yeah, Wale Mania was insane. So packed. Many people in there. I don't know how.
I just worried about the cold at Mania. Like at Mania in that.
That stadium. Probably didn't help.
That didn't help at all.
The wind
shivering.
Like if you made it out of that, you get into pneumonia.
The funniest thing I thought at Mania was that everyone was going down to the concession stand just to get hot chocolate. They weren't.
They made a killing. Food. They ran out.
Yeah.
They ran out of hot chocolate on our side of the venue.
It's insane. It was so cold, I'm telling you.
And that's from somebody who lives in Canada and is used to the cold.
Right. Canadians are like, oh, hold on a minute.
Like, while I was watching night two, I saw them put on like the temperature of like how cold it was. I'm like, have they ever done that at WrestleMania? It's like, that's how you know it's cold. They're actually putting on the temperature.
They were even on commentary like, it's cold, it's cold. Like, they were emphasizing it. Like, I don't think they usually do that.
Talk about how cold it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell them the temperature.
Poor ring announcer is like, she's got like blankets and blankets on.
Right? Oh, she was bundled. Samantha was proper bundled sitting out there. Because I think someone said that they were going to use the heated ring that they used in New York. For one of the previous Manias, they've got like a ring with posts that shoot heat towards the ring, but it's like that doesn't help nobody at ringside.
No,
yeah, everyone else freezes.
Yeah,
and the wrestlers are gonna get warm in like 2 minutes after like.
Yeah, they're moving.
They're gonna wrestle
anyway.
You're at a football stadium. Just wheel out some of that equipment you use to keep all the sideline staff warm, like on football. Like you just give them some of those big puffy jackets.
Yeah,
the ones that are like the hoodie sized ones with the big Philadelphia.
Yeah, they go all the way down to the knees and all that.
So hand those out at the door.
Oh, by the way, if I could like pick sponsors for the podcast, the hoodie. Oh man, those things are so cozy.
You would be very happy. I think you may have seen it. One of the people that wrestles with us at Crossbody, Laurel has an hoodie, and it always pops me because she's quite short. So you just see somebody with basically just like the bottom 8 inches of their legs,
just their feet,
just going along. It does look incredibly comfy though.
The cozy lifestyle.
They're so they're the best. Please send us free products. I hope somebody at your company is an indie wrestling fan.
Could you imagine?
That's like always the you know what if scenario that that sometimes plays in the back of my head. Like, it would be real nice if somebody from like Monster Energy just happened to really like our podcast.
Mm-hmm. I'd put a monster hat on right now.
Oh, man.
I'd chill. No problem.
No problems.
You want me to get a little monster Cody Rhodes? I'll do it. I'll do it.
Maybe reel it in. I don't know about all that.
I'd get like a tiny one behind the ear or something. Maybe.
Flip it upside down to be a W wrestling. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Look, money's being made.
Honestly, if it's not a face tattoo, there's not a lot of places on my body that I wouldn't get some corporate sponsorship tattoo just for free shit money. Like, things cost a lot in 2024.
That's true.
Way more than they should.
Like,
too much.
You know?
Except for me, I am very reasonably priced.
Yes.
not burying myself. Very
good segue.
That was your average, right? The cost difference between the Canada and the States out there. Holy!
Oh, man. Yeah.
Shit, food was so much cheaper out there. I was like, I'm not going back home.
It's cheaper out here.
It depends on where you go, because some of the chain restaurants, like if they charge us $9.50 for a quarter pounder combo up here, that's $9.50 Canadian. They'll also charge us $9.50 American when you go to a McDonald's in the States. And it's like, that's a 30% markup.
Like, what are we doing?
Who was asking about? Someone tweeted about $9 for some food item the other day, and I was like, that should be illegal. I can't remember what it was now. I think it was $9 for breakfast.
Yeah.
I was like, $9 for breakfast is only good if it that only works if it is if you're getting like bacon and eggs, like a whole plate of it.
Yeah. That's a steal.
I wish. I like that there are four other people here that can understand like how sad it is to come back to Canada after eating American fast food for a week, though.
The Wawa.
The Wawa did hit, though.
That's not even the thing I want. I want Checkers. Mm-hmm. I want Checkers in Canada.
Yes, Checkers and Wingstop. That's all. Give me those two places, and I'd be happy.
Those are pretty good.
Checkers is really good. They got one burger. Their burgers are... I think it might be one of my favorite fast food burgers.
It's all about the fries.
Yeah, I think we have a fries debate on here.
Yeah. Like, if that was a sponsor, like, if we had a Checker sponsor and I could just eat fries the whole time.
No, because I can't get it. No, it's got to be something.
Do they even have Checkers on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like a Northeast thing or something like that.
Mm-hmm. In my hometown at Bakersfield, there's the Checkers. I'm like, I should go to Checkers next time I'm in Bakersfield.
You should. It's really good.
Yeah. It is really good.
Yeah, no, but I'll find out next year when I make my like every 3 year, 2 years trip to America.
The pilgrimage.
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes I save up enough money to take a really long bus ride. Sometimes I just go to Ottawa.
Yeah, just
pop the Canadians. I like it.
Those are my only, like, it's the only options, really, right? You know, it's like you either go somewhere on that eight hour stretch of highway, or you have to go to America because there's nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Living here is terrible.
We got healthcare though. I'm happy.
Yeah. Like, it's not worse over there.
No, and weed.
I will say if we didn't, I'm moving down the street from Speedy or something. If we didn't have healthcare, I'm out of here.
Oh yeah, if we didn't have healthcare, I'm packing up the family. We're going to Portland.
Healthcare.
I'm sorry, Reg. We're just sitting here taking advantage. We're just sitting here taking it for granted.
I'm like, you guys are like, oh, you guys have all these cool fast food places. You guys have all this stuff that's killing you, and then
we got hospital.
Go to the hospital and be great. Like, yeah, these cheeseburgers are great. I can't wait to die.
we got hospital visits and shawarma. This is the best.
I'll take the hospital visits over the fast food. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the shawarma is really good too. Time. Don't sleep on the shawarmas.
Yeah, not at all.
Osmos. Oh, man.
Osmos. I'd be skipping ultrasounds to hit up an Osmos.
I live beside an Osmos. It's like
same.
It's the most financially inefficient thing that's ever happened in my life.
But yeah.
Next to Parenthood.
Also, yeah. Pothead too. Yeah. Mike, you might have to reevaluate, my brother.
Yeah, redacted.
Again, twice in one show.
Twice in one show.
You mean zero times in one show.
Yeah. There we go.
Best guest ever. MVP Derek Smith.
That's how you get it done.
Yeah. And here's shit.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Indeed.
Yeah.
We are 54 minutes in and we don't know what we're doing.
No, it's 54. No, we're 54 minutes in. This is actually about the time of the episode where I would say, where can everyone see you wrestling? What you know, where can everyone find you coming up soon? Because there's some crossbody uproar starting in a few minutes
about six minutes. If you search crossbody pro wrestling or crossbody pro wrestling academy, you will see CBPW uproar. This is the show that we are all on this week. Not so much, but weekly we are on the show. D Smith is on the show this week, and we also have some events that we're going to be doing in the coming weeks. So the next two
Wednesdays, I believe. And then the following Saturday, we will all be on there doing our stuff. Yep. Crossbody Pro Wrestling.
Crossbody.
That's right. Commentary. Big commentary.
Yep.
Vader Scott. Speed bump like
from Indeed don't watch and haven't watched Crossbody, it's like, how haven't you? Like, we talk about Crossbody on almost every show at this point. Like, if you haven't seen Crossbody, like, dude.
I may or may not go out of my way to, you know, try to facilitate people on to coming on here.
You guys. Watch it.
Wrestle there or hold gold there quite regularly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got that all this weekend. And then, IWS kicking off in May. We got some top tier wrestling also in the mix there. May is going to be pretty stacked for sure.
May is pretty stacked. In May, we are at IWS. We are top tier Crossbody, as we mentioned before. We're at Destiny Wrestling.
Yeah.
Mikey and Jax, are you guys at Demand?
We might.
That's in the works. We have Demand Lucha in the works. We'll potentially be having that. But yeah,
there's tons of stuff in May.
Lots of stuff in May, but just announced today, me and Mikey will be in a fatal four-way tag team match at IWS, competing once again for the IWS Tag Team Championships.
Let's go. Get them belts.
Exactly, man.
That's right.
We got Ladder War. We came up short, but this time we're taking it.
So
close. You know, and also we have Sway Archer as well, taking on Green Phantom as well. So it's going to be
legendary.
Yeah, Green Phantom is one of the longest, if not the longest, tenured member of the IWS roster that is still actively wrestling on like almost every single show.
Yeah.
So it's a big test. Yeah, him and Eddie, basically. It's a big test for me.
That's amazing. When I first saw IWS in 2002, he was one of the people that I saw. So.
Yep, and I was 5 years old.
Cool.
There you go.
Oh my
God. But literally, this dude's been wrestling since it was a child. Opportunity for me.
I was already older than my child is when it was in 2002.
Yeah. And he said he was 5.
10, 11.
No. My kid's gonna be 13 this year.
Your dad did.
Oh man.
Get your casket.
Yeah.
You're dead.
You are so dead.
Well, that was some interesting upcoming appearances, because before guests usually I'd be like, all four of you have something different to say. But really, no, you're all in the same place, basically.
Yep.
So where can everyone find you on the interwebs? Because at least this is going to be different.
Yes.
Mine's super quick. I'm at Sway Archer on everything. And if you go to my Insta, my ring gear Insta linked as well. So you guys can take a look at the gear work I do for everybody.
Wrestling apparel, big that up. So you find me. I am Mikey and on social media, or Mikey.truth on IG. All the information is there. You can catch us all. I will be posting and throwing all the information and all the gang all on that.
That's right. Got myself. You can find me on Insta at D_Smith_wrestler, working on that little handle there. And then on Twitter, you can get me at Smitty Gun, SMI, 2 T's, 2 N's. Watch your boy this coming uproar in about a couple minutes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Jackson_Roy on Instagram. Jackson_Roy on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I call it Twitter. I'm not calling
Twitter.
It.
Twitter. No, X. It's still Twitter.
Forget about that. And you can also follow me on TikTok, JacksonRoy26. I just repost Mikey's stuff. Mikey posts stuff. I repost it. That's all you need to know about that. So. So that's where you can follow me.
Love it. Well, thank you guys again for joining us.
So before
we head out of here, Reg, where can everyone find you?
Every week I'm here with Mike talking the best independent wrestling. Canadian lesson today. Very cool. Thank you guys for joining us. Every Saturday it's Grab City Podcast with Philip Lindsay. Tonight I'll be on with Denise talking AEW Dynamite post show. Last week was our busiest episode ever. Surprise! So I'll see you guys
there. What happened there?
Imagine that.
I didn't see it.
Crazy.
I don't know. Chris here was very upset about it, though. That's all I know.
Yeah. Is he in the bloodline? I don't know. I don't watch.
Jack Perry finished his story.
Well, there you go.
Myself on Twitter, anywhere at Mike from Indeed. Get the same social handle on all platforms. It'll make your life a million times
easier. It helps so much.
And wrestlers, put your name in your social media thing. I don't know what this is. Like, sometimes I'm doing the BW 500 and I'm like, dude, just tell me your name. Like, that's all that I want. And like, it's not on flyers. They don't put it in their videos. I'm like, just say what your name is, dude. Like, if promoters want to find you, they have to have a way to say to do it.
So you need to be Googleable. If you can't Google your ring name and find you, then find some way to change that. I'm not saying change your ring name, but find a way to make it so that Google does your results. And if your results don't even show up when you type your name wrestler, you got something real wrong.
Something's going on.
You gotta give our flowers to Reg, though, because Reg, when you put us on that list, bro, hey, man, there's a whole different type of respect. So I have to give that salute to you, because that was a big, big, big up for us, and it helped on a major scale out here.
So totally. When I put out the list without Canadian talent were like, yo, bro, what's up? So I had to get research and go. And I found out, like, there's a lot of y'all that are super
talented. There's a lot of us.
We're fighting.
Yeah.
I wanted to give you your flowers in person at Wally Mania, but hey, you're here. Salute. Thank you for that.
Thank you. It's all about you guys. I'm just the messenger. I'm like, you guys are the cool ones. I'm just saying who's cool.
I have to always make my case known to Reg for sliding some Canadians in.
Totally.
We appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's Indeed for this week. I don't know who's here next week. We'll figure it out. So just watch. You know, it's going to be someone fun. It'll be, you know,
we'll be here, I think.
Yeah. Put your diamonds up. We'll see you next week. Go watch Crossbody, CBPW Academy on YouTube. Bye.
Love.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.